In the old movie, Quo Vadis, lions threatened Deborah Carr as she was tied to a stake in the center of the Colosseum in Rome. And someone asked her of her role later, and they said, "Were not you scared?" And no, she said, "because I had read the script, and I knew that the hero would come and rescue me." You see, she was not afraid because she knew the end of the story. In our scripture today from the book of Revelation, John provides you and I with a glimpse of the end of the story for us Christians. A great multitude of folks have gathered before the throne and before the Lamb of God. The number was so great that none could count. The group was from all walks of life and cities and towns near and far. They wore white robes and they held palm branches, which were symbols of victory. They cried out praise to God for their own salvation, the one who brought them through their trials and their travels. The angels, the elders, and the four living creatures all fell down and joined in the worship, adding their amen. You see, their praise was for the greatness of God. Listen to what they ascribed to God. They ascribed God glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and strength. It says, glory, God was a majestic God. Wisdom, God was the source of all knowledge. Thanksgiving, God provided for them. Honor, God was worthy of it. Power, God would accomplish the purposes of the kingdom. Strength, God provided power to get people through everything. Not just things once in a while, but everything. He doesn't want all these things to happen, but he gives us the power when trials and tribulations come, when things happen, to allow us to get through it. You see, John was visualizing the end times. He knew the end would be terrifying, just as the persecution was for them. But John felt that God would not be defeated and would deliver the faithful. Victory, triumph, life. That was what the worship celebration was all about. It is to be hoped that this picture of praise to God for salvation is repeated every Sunday as we come, as we gather for worship. Worship reminds us of God's ultimate victory, the ultimate sacrifice and the ultimate victory for us, and an end of the divine human story. You see, God made the ultimate sacrifice, but in turn, it was the ultimate victory for you and I. You see, this passage today ends with four verses that celebrates what God would do for believers. Verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. In verse 14 is the promise that the martyrs for Christ would find victory. Those who trusted Christ, whatever the cost, would find themselves purified from sin. You see, washed their robes, and cleansed by Christ's death and resurrection, the blood of the Lamb is what they cleansed their robes with. God would not desert them, but justify them. They would stand before the throne of God. Verse 15 describes for us the truth, that there would be no barriers between God and the people. There would be nobody there. That it would be us, that we would be able to celebrate, that we'd be able to talk, that we'd be able to share, to pray to God. There would be no barriers between us and God, that they would enter into the very presence of God, and God's presence would shelter them. God would shelter us. It would be like the Shekinah dwelling. Shekinah is the dwelling of God. It's in the Jewish words, Jewish history. It's in the Hebrew text. It is the feminine dwelling of God. It is that dwelling presence of God in the temple. But this time, there would be no veil to keep them from the Holy of Holies. You see, the veil was there. It was wrapped around the Holy of Holies. And no one could go in. No one could go be a part of that. But here it says, the presence of God in the temple. There would be nothing in between. That we would be able to go into the Holy of Holies. We'd be able to go to God and talk to God, to share. It breaks down that barrier in our world. Verse 16 today refers to the promise that God would satisfy all their needs, everything. There would be no hunger, no thirst, no hot sun to scorch them by day. Maybe they were remembering their wilderness days as they traveled with Moses. Maybe they were remembering the days of slaves as they were slaves in Egypt. When they were hungry, when they were thirsty, and when they fainted from the heat of the day, they had time to remember. But here he says there would be no more hunger, no more thirst, no more hot sun, no more. God would meet their every need. Verse 17 promises the Lamb would be their shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He takes care of his sheep. He is going to meet our spiritual need for the water of life. So many images in God's Word talk about our needs being met, talk about the spiritual needs, the water of life, springing up wells within our heart and our soul, the goodness that clean water brings to cleanse our spirits, to physically to quench our thirst, to allow us to be baptized, to allow the many things that happen through the water and the Spirit that comes with us. This day, the water in our lives has also done what? Many of us, when you get out working, you perspire. Some people don't, and they can't. I don't have to do any of that. It just happens. But when you do, it does. But also others have lost water this day by what? By tears. Sometimes you are crying and you're losing tears because of goodness and happy memory. Sometimes you cry to the point of laughter. Sometimes your laughter to the point of crying. So water is a symbol. It is something that nourishes our life. It's something that sustains us. And it says that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes because God is involved in our lives. That you and I would be comforted. Those people that day would be comforted. And what a promise that is. What a promise that is for you and me. If we trust God, God will care for us. God will provide for us and lead us to all victory. You see, this passage today means that when we face injustice, when we are suffering, when we find ourselves in the midst of death in our lives and those around us, we can go on in faith and triumph. We have a faith and we can triumph over that. Why? Because we know the end of the story. You see, we know the end of the story. Justice triumphs, good prevails, right overcomes wrong, and life defeats death. Because you see, that is the end of the story. Our Lord died so that we could have life and have it eternal. He rose on resurrection morning, on Easter, so that that life would be in eternity. You see, we know the end of the story. Are we living our lives? Are we coming to worship like those people in robes of white, singing God's praises, knowing that God has blessed us with all the strength, the power, the thanksgiving, the glory, the might? If you know the end of the story, you know your Lord and Savior. If you don't, you know how to get in touch with Him. Let us pray.